It's wonderful to be here this morning. I hope and pray that the Lord will continue to abide with us. We've already been blessed for that. I'm very, very thankful. It has been read in this meeting, and if the Lord would, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the third chapter of 1 John, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Not going to read them right now. We'll get to it. But these verses have spoken to me very, very wonderfully in the past few weeks. And it has caused me to consider myself and to try to do better in my way of trying to serve the Lord. Verse 1 talks about what we can do here in time. It's what we can do right now. Verse 2 talks about what we will do when we get the glory. There are things we can do. There are things we should do. There are things we ought to do. And there are things that we will do when we get to heaven. And we can get started on it right now. Today is the day of salvation. But let's read verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It's interesting when you read the scriptures and you've read certain scriptures frequently and you notice a word that had never been there before, but all of a sudden it's there. The Bible has a way of doing that to us. When I read this verse recently, I noticed a word in verse 1, and that is the word manner. The Apostle John didn't say, behold the love of God, but he said, behold the manner. One of these days, we will behold the love of God, because God is love. The best we can do is to behold the manner. And that's pretty good. But I looked up that word manner, and I found 6 definitions of that word. When I tried to talk on Thursday night on that word prize, I said there were 7 and only 1 definition applied. Now on this verse, in this word, there are 6 definitions, and they all apply. What makes you so smart, Brother Dave? I don't know. It's a mystery to me. I don't know how I knew this. I don't know, but I'm right. I'm right. Behold the manner. Behold what manner the love of God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Don't think it peculiar when the world doesn't understand you. The problem is that we understand them. That's the problem. They don't understand us. That's not a problem. It is a problem when they understand you, when the world speaks well of you. But it doesn't know the Lord, and they don't understand us. But that's not what we're to behold. Behold the manner. Behold what manner? The love of God. The word manner means, in one sense, the extent of something. The extent of the love of God. How many people does God love? More than any man can count.
Yeah.
I'm a computer programmer for the county of Bear in Texas. I brought the mainframe down one time. Really proud of myself. I brought it to a screeching halt. It wasn't my fault, but I got blamed for it. I uploaded a file that the DPS sent us. And it had every name that had committed a speeding ticket in the last 10 years. You know, that's a number no man can count either. That file was so big, it brought the whole thing down. Well, can you imagine what it would do if we had the file of all the elect family of God? That computer would give up the ghost. And it would just die a very unnatural death. And we would just shut it down. Just forget about it. Forget about it. You can't count it. It's like the sands of the sea, the stars in the sky. It's innumerable. God knows the number, thankfully. And as we've heard, God knows the names of every one of them. But the extent of the love of God is absolutely amazing when you think of all the people that God loves.
Yeah.
And that God has blessed with His love. Behold also the proportion. The word matter means proportion. How much God loves us. How much is the love of God? Can you behold that? Can you think about that for a minute? That God would do everything necessary to ensure that we are delivered to the uttermost and saved and preserved in Jesus Christ. You know, I love some folks. I love Sister Leslie. She said at 8 o'clock this morning that she loves me. So that's pretty good. But you know what? I can't do for her what the love of God can do. I can't save her from her sins. But Jesus did. And that's love. The distinction. The word manner means distinction. How different it is from anything else. When I met Sister Leslie, I had a list of things that she needed to check off before I would say, I'm interested. there were some things. I had a list. I needed this list to be complete. And then when I met her, I threw the list away. And I think everybody will amen, especially these two, Brother James and Brother Mike. And I think they would agree that I'm a better person with Sister Leslie. It's amen, amen. Preach on, brethren, preach on. But the best version of me, I didn't know until I found her. She's done a lot for me. I try to do all I can for her. I want to make her happy. Now that love I have for Sister Leslie is distinct. And I don't have that love for anybody else. Mm-hmm. But behold, what manner of love. What can we do for God? What does God get out of it? Why does God love us? You know, you should never marry somebody because of potential.
Amen.
Okay? And if you're interested in someone and you think, well, once they get over this, or what I can do if a little bit, you need to run, not walk away from that person. All right? I don't care how good looking they are. Get away from them. But what was there in us that God would love us to this extent? We can't do anything for God, though we ought to do all we can to love Him back, to serve Him, to worship Him, to dedicate our life to Him. But when God loved us, we could not love Him back because we were dead in trespasses and in sin. We were dead, but God loved us. You read in Ezekiel 16 of that description of us in our total depravity. And it was a sight presented to us so loathsome that nobody would even want to do something nice or any good for us. But when He passed by, when I passed by, thy time was the time of love. God loved us because it seemed good in His sight. God loved us because He loved us. And when God loves us, He loves us.
Amen.
And there is no separation. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is distinct. God does not fall out of love with His people.
Amen.
God does not say, I'm done with you. God may withhold His blessings from us. But my friends, if your name is written there, it stays there. And so what distinction of that? God doesn't get anything out of it. And as a matter of fact, to love us, it cost God the life of His only begotten Son. There are some folks that I've had to drop because it was too expensive to love them. I've had people that I call friends, but I thought, you know, I'm getting nothing out of this, and I'm having to give everything to them. And I got tired of it. That's human nature. That's human nature. There are some people that were costing me reputation points. I'm just tired of it. I'm sure they were tired of me. There's people that got tired of me. But my friends, I tell you this much. I'm glad that the doctrines of grace is not based upon human emotion, and it's not built upon the psychological aspect of human beings, because we are a fallen race and God is perfect and His love is perfect.
Amen.
And it's committed. And it will reach the conclusion of which it was committed in the first place. Behold the degree. How long does God love us? He loves us from now into eternity. God's love takes us in eternity. God's love has blessed us with this fellowship that we have right now. And God has blessed us to be able to feel the love of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when that is brought together, then we as a church, we love this common thing, this blessed God that cared for us so much that He brought this church down, and that He has blessed us to be a part of it. And then He turns around and says, but this is just a foretaste of what's waiting for you. Behold the ramifications of it. what it will do for us. How many God loves. How much God loves. How different His love is. How long God loves us. How God executed that love for us. What that love means and what it will do for us. Behold that. Can you behold that? Best place to do it is in the house of God.
Amen.
The best way to show it is to join the Primitive Baptist Church.
Amen.
If you love the Lord and hadn't joined the church, you haven't done all you can do.
Amen.
You hadn't even gotten started.
Amen.
Don't tell me you've done something good and you haven't joined the church. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I tell you what, I mean, it's like some folks, it's like running a marathon coming from that from down there to down here. You know you can walk that aisle in 10 seconds if you hurry. If you hurry, but you know some people think it's like 28 miles. Can't do it. I can't do it. I tell you what, you want a short sermon today, join the church right now. You want me to quit preaching, I'll just come on down and join the church. Now they take me up on it in California. That's happened twice. They got tired of my preaching so much, two folks joined the church at two different times. I guess y'all just enjoy, you'd rather hear me preach than join the church? Are you serious? What's the matter with you? You're not beholden to the love of God. You want me to quit? You want me to quit. You want to hear Brother Isaac's early? Come down and join the church. All right, I joined for you. I'm not going to join for you. I'm going to step on your toes until you do it. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm tired. Tired of people just coming up with all, as Brother Ronald talks about, these excuses. I'm tired of me coming up with excuses. That's how tired I am. I started thinking about reasons. 2 weeks ago, I was thinking about reasons. Well, I just don't think I can get to that fellowship meeting. You know, I got so much to do. I've got all this other stuff. And then I think, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Dave? What is it that's so important? Why do these people need you here? And then the devil said, well, Florida don't need you either. Florida. And then it dawned on me, I need them. I need this meeting. I need to be here. I need it yesterday. Yesterday was glorious. It's one of the best days I've ever spent in the house of God. Amen. I'm calling it, Brother Chris. You're going to read about it on Facebook next week. And if you weren't there, I want you to read it twice. Get mad at me. Get mad at me for writing about it. I want you to. Because I tell you what, yesterday was wonderful and it was glorious. And together we beheld what manner the love of God hath bestowed upon us, that we could say, thus we are the children of God. And we can say, brother and sister. Someone was talking about when Ananias came to see Saul in the house of Simon. I love the way he started that statement. He said, brother Saul. I think that's another thing we're getting away from. I've seen it. I've seen this trend. I know my name is David. I've been called that for a good while. 57. It will be 58 in May. Mike, he's going to be 60 in July. How about that? You just had to go to the well, didn't you? You had to go to the well. I had that ace. And yeah, I knew he was going to say it. Amen. I amen the amen corner right now. So anyway, I know I'm David. I know it. Some of y'all know my middle name. I ain't going to tell you. Some of y'all know my middle name. So, quiet. Can count on these guys. All right. But you know what I like to be reminded? That I'm brother. That makes me feel good. You're preaching the gospel to me. You're preaching the gospel. You know, I don't want to hear David get up to preach. I don't even want to hear that David preach. But I want to hear Brother David. Amen. I want to hear Brother David. We're going to get Brother David over here. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have Brother David over at the house. Oh, but Brother David's coming over. Amen. Ananias was scared, as the brother said, he was scared of Saul. Yep. He didn't want to go. When God got finished with him, Brother Saul. Bro, amen. Isn't that good? That's good. That's real good. That's really good. It's really good. You know, and that was enforced upon me as a child. My parents taught us that when we see church members outside of church, they're still brother and sister. They don't quit being it when we're not in church. All right? So that's a wonderful manifestation of the love of God, that we are the children of God, and it is a family. We're together. And now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. So eternity has started right now. Brother James said so. Right now. This very minute. Right now. In this moment in time that has crystallized to this degree that we can focus upon this. Right now. I am a part of this family that God has blessed. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I have reproved myself. When I talk about heaven, I usually talk about, well, what heaven means to me. Or what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. Or what I'm going to see. How heaven is going to be this personal experience for me. But you know, the Bible says very little about it from that standpoint. But the Bible focuses on what makes heaven heaven. Yes. All right?
Amen.
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 Oh yeah, I can't wait to get there. I'm not gonna get sick. We're not gonna die. That's gonna be peace. It's gonna be all that. Why do you think it's gonna be all that? What makes it all that? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. John says, now just forget about it. Forget about it. Don't concern yourself with that. That will wait. But focus on this. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For, and here's where He ends, we shall see Him as He is. We're going to see Jesus Christ. We can behold the manner of the love of Christ right here. But when we get up yonder, we're going to see Him face to face. And that's going to, I tell you what, my friends, I say this all the time. My children mouth the words when I get to this point in the sermon. I don't care, the heathen barbarians. They don't bother me one bit. At least they're there to hear me say it. They're here to hear me say it. And if I'm remembered by them for saying this thing, then I can rest easy. Because there's a lot of things they can remember, but I want them to remember this. The best meeting you've ever been to, you haven't been to yet. All right? Did y'all have a good time this weekend?
Amen.
Well, I did. Were you bored? What happened? What's the matter? The sandwiches didn't work out for you yesterday? Is that what it was? Really? Was the weather just too perfect for you? What happened? No, we had a glorious time. Did you go in the kingdom this weekend? I did. Did I see you there? I think I saw you there. We have had a wonderful fellowship meeting this year. All right? That ought to make you feel good. What are you worried about right now? What are you worried about? What's wrong? There's nothing wrong. Look where you are right now. Behold the manner of love. Now think about this. When we get there, we will see Jesus as He is. This is good. But when you see Him, I talked about the crowning moment. That is a moment that will never end.
Amen.
The best you've ever felt, you haven't felt it yet.
Yeah.
The best day of your life hasn't happened yet. And it will happen to all of us at the same time.
Amen.
And together we will be with the Lord, for we shall see Him as He is. We have to be changed. We're going to see Him as He is right now.
Amen.
You know, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have good meetings like this when we strive to behold the manner of the love of God.
Amen.
And to give Him glory and to worship His holy name. And if God would continue to bless us until He calls us home, then I think you've had a pretty good life. I think you've got a lot to be thankful for. And don't wait until you die to join the church, because it's too late then. I'm very sorry. But let's take care of some things right now, because the more that we press into it, the more that we see. All right? I'll end with this silly story. I love that scripture where Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and He says, "The violent take it by force." I like that. Press into the kingdom. I call that the fried chicken text of the Bible. Because when my mother would make fried chicken, me and my brothers got violent. And we took it by force. And my little brother Tim was a slow eater. And he got left behind. All right? Now, there's no left behind when the Lord comes back. And there's really no left behind right now. If you feel left behind, it's because you put yourself there. There's a better place for you to be. And I have been blessed to be there. May God richly bless every single one of you. I love you all. Come to San Antonio. We'll have some Mexican food. We'll be doing all right then. And we'll go to church. And that's as close to heaven, in my opinion, as you can get. God bless you all. Thank you very much.